Blog Talk Radio.
Hey yo, G-Snap, gonna give a nigga the word. I hear you on the radio, gonna let it be heard. The one that got it jumping when I'm running through the town. Got my 18 stumping, even bumping underground. I don't even need a CD. Baby, you such a sweetie, but for show roasted. Co-host, young B-Easy on the West Coast. We brag boasts and post-game. G-Snaps put you right on the map if you want fame. It's hard to be an artist in the city of sin, but you can catch a local song every time you roll in. Some people pay just for some play, but they ain't no way to win. It's only G-Snaps radio, so better tune in. We want G-Snaps, G-Snaps. We on G-Snaps, G-Snaps. We want G-Snaps, G-Snaps. We on G-Snaps, G-Snaps. We want G-Snaps, G-Snaps. We on G-Snaps, G-Snaps. We want G-Snaps, G-Snaps. We on G-Snaps, G-Snaps.
You are now on the sound.
What's happening, everybody? It's your girl,
Hey, can you hear me? I'm kind of bad reception.
Can you hear me? I hear you now.
Yeah, okay, I can hear you better now. It was in and out, like all right. Staticky.
Oh, I'm not sure what's going on. Today, I'll tell you one thing, Byron. You are on my first show back after years. Getting a bit bored together, everything together. But you're pretty much making my world here. I appreciate you, man. I know that you have a story to tell. That you have to tell. You have a passion behind your music story. I want you to kind of what you're doing out here.
I'm living no regrets, yeah. I'm living no regrets, yeah. I'm living no regrets, yeah. I've been living life like I know regrets. You've been living life on your ass today. I'm going hard, I got bad respect. If you tweet with the games, I'll possess your neck, yeah. I'm living life lunar, I should have came sooner. Sweet like a bloomer, you're a late bloomer. Yeah, I didn't pay my debts. Under the rug, you'll get swept. You got a debt, you better pay quick like the IRS. I come collect, chopper hit your neck, then fly through your chest. You best get low, cause we on what's next. Bitch, I'm up next. My car costs a 10, and that's why you upset. Don't get upset. Yes, yes, yes. Diamonds on me, they fish wet. And I flex hard, I bench press. Got hundreds in the duffel, I blow that, you know that. I've been living life like I know it great. You've been living life on your ass today. I'm going hard, I got power spec. If you tweet with the games, I was at your neck, yeah. I'm living life lunar, I should've came sooner. Sweet like a bloomer, you're a late bloomer. I'm on her mind, baby, I feel like a tumor. Hush all the rumors.
Yeah, really, BJ?
Yeah. We have a technical difficulty, but we get back with it. All right, everybody, we are back. Oh, my goodness, we had some technical difficulties just because, you know, of course, you know, it's D-Sounds Radio Show. We're getting it together. We're getting it. Everybody's getting back on. I do apologize for that technical difficulties. This is our first show, so we're definitely going to have some technical difficulties, but I am definitely, definitely excited to have baby Byron on the show, and he's going to give us some insight. And like I say, we're going to keep on going. We're going to keep on waiting on him. He's going to come back. We're getting some technical difficulties out the way right now so we can hear baby Byron. So don't go anywhere. We're going to keep going and keep growing. I tell you right now, we're going to listen to the big picture right now from your boy Lil Baby. We're going to come right back. We're going to have an interview. I say shout out to everybody that's out there listening to me. I'm sorry that we are having technical difficulties, but we are here and we are ready to go. G-Sounds Radio, we're not going nowhere. Let's go.
Protests and growing national outcries continue over the death of George Floyd.
Last night, people protesting in Minneapolis escalated as demonstrators were lashed by tear gas and rubber bullets.
The main message here.
The main message here
is that they want to see those officers involved.
They want to see those officers arrested.
Trade my 4x4 for a GC3, ain't no more feeler speed. I gave him chance, a chance, a chance again. I even told him please. I find it crazy the police to shoot you and know that you dead, but still tell you to freeze. Fucked up, I seen what I seen. I guess that mean hold him down if he say he can't breathe. It's too many mothers just grieving. They killing us for no reason. Been going on for too long to get even. So us in cages like dogs and hyenas. I went to court and they sent me to prison. My mama was crushed when they said I can't leave. First I was drunk, then I sobered up quick when I heard all that time that they gave to Talib. He got a life sentence plus. We just some products of our environment. How the fuck they gon' blame us? You can't fight fire with fire, I know, but at least we can turn off the flames some. Every color person ain't dumb, and all whites not racist. I be judging by the mind and heart, I ain't really in the face. Fuck up the way that we living, it's not getting better, you gotta know how to survive. Crazy, I had to tell all of my loved ones to carry a gun when they going outside. Stay in the mirror whenever you drive, overprotective, go crazy for mine. You gotta pay attention to the sign, seem like the blind following the blind. Thinking about everything that's going on, I boost security up in my home. I'm with my kind, if they right or they wrong. I call them now, he'll pick up the phone, and it's 5 in the morning, he waking up on it. Tell them wherever I'm at, then they coming. I see blue lights, I get scared and start running. That shit be crazy, they post to protect us. Guards and handcuffs and arrest us. Why they go home at night, that shit messed up. Knowing we needed help, they neglect us. One of them who gon' make them respect us. I can see in your eye that you fed up. Fuck around, got my shot, I won't let up. They know that we a problem together. They know that we can storm anywhere. That's bigger than black and white.
It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere. Might as well go ahead and start here. We done had a hell of a year. I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear. Fuck it, I'm going on the front line. He gon' bust your ass if you come past that gun line. You know when the storm go away, then the sunshine. Gotta put your head in the game when it's crunch time. I want all my sons to grow up to be monsters. I want all my daughters to show out in public. Seem like we losing our country, but we gotta stand up for something. So this what it comes to. Every video I see on my country, I got power now, I gotta say something. Corrupt the police been the problem where I'm from. But I'd be lying if I said it was all of them. I ain't do this for the trend, I don't follow them. Altercation with the law, had a lot of them. People speaking for the people, I'm proud of them. Stick together, we can get it up out of them. I can't lie like I don't rap about killing and dope. But I'm telling my youngest to vote. I did what I did cause I didn't have no choice and no hope. I was forced to just jump in and go. This bullshit is all that we know. But it's time for a change. Got time to be serious, no time for no game. Ain't taking no more, let us go for them chains. God bless they soul, every one of them names. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere. Might as well go ahead and start here. We done had a hell of a year. I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear. They training officers to kill us, then shooting protesters with these rubber bullets. They regular people, I know that they feel us. These scars too deep, they heal us. What happened to COVID? Nobody remember, it ain't making sense. I'm just here to vent. It happened to one of your people, it's different. We get it, the system is wicked, just learn how to pick it. Knowledge is power, I swear I'm a witness. I know that I'm gifted, I won't go too deep, cause I'm scared they'll get me. Ain't scared to admit it, some shit I can't mention. It's people who can, well here's the chance. I won't take the stand, but I'll take a stand for what I believe. Must not be breathing the air that I breathe. You know that the way that I bleed, you can breathe. I never been a fan of police, but my neighborhood know I try to keep peace, so it's only right that I get in the streets. March for a reason, I just on GP. How people die for us to be free. Fuck do you mean? This was a dream. Now we got the power that we need to have. They don't want us with it, and that's why they mad. Yeah. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere. Might as well go ahead and start here. We done had a hell of a year. I'ma make it count why.
Yes, sir. It's your girl, G Snaps. We back. I'm sorry, guys, for that technical difficulty. It's the first day, the first show, so we're getting everything, all the boards together and everything together. But I got my boy, Baby Byron.
Hey, how's we doing? How we doing?
Man, we're out here. We're doing pretty good, man. I had to, you know, the boards are getting queued up, and they haven't been queued up in a while. So I guess you hear that choppiness, but I'm glad I came back to you. But without further ado, you know, I do apologize about the mishap right here, but I want you guys to really listen to his story. What I was asking earlier is I want you to tell everybody a little bit more about your story and how it developed and what you think right now. As far as we are living in this world right now in 2020, how do you feel is the difference between now, and how do you feel like things are the same between now and in 1992?
Okay, you know, I feel like I could answer the latter end of the question first and then work my way back, but I can keep it short. Know, as far as what's the difference in today and back then, is not much. The only thing that's different now is probably information's more disposable. You know what I mean? It's more available. You know, incidents get reported, you know, a lot faster. You know, everything is more so like a different era, you know what I mean, than back then. You know what I mean? And then there's a lot of different interests and powers that be, like, you know, corporations that like to, you know, reap the benefits, you know, from movements like the stuff that goes on. So now it's more available. While back then, you know, it's probably hard for movements like NAACP and, you know, all these things to get type of funding from things like that, you know, without somebody having to die first. You know what I mean? So now I feel like the difference between now and then, if we're talking about differences, you know, racially or systemic racism, it's really, I feel like the only difference now is the information is more, it's more available for the average person that might not believe it, or for the person that likes to believe it's a closeted thing. You know, now it's pretty much mainstream. You know, racism is a mainstream thing. So I guess that's how I could say how I feel about it as of today. But as far as my origin to story and how it relates to today is that, you know, my story as once again, my name is Baby Byron, for anybody if I didn't get to introduce myself. Thank you for having me on to your program, by the way.
Definitely.
But as, Oh, yeah. So as far as my story, yeah, my name is Barry Byron. I was born July 15th, 1992. And, you know, I said this to, you know, plenty of people, but if anybody's not familiar with the era that I was born in, it was called the crack era or the crack epidemic. You know, a lot of people was kind of on the heels of that. So, you know, if you're a 90s baby, you know, and, you know, in a certain demographic, in a certain age group, certain, you know, ethnicity, there's a good chance, you know, you could have been affected by the crack era. So I'm one of those children, but that's not what makes me different. You know, that's actually what makes me the actual very common to a lot of people because, like I said, the crack era was stretched out throughout the country. But what makes my story a little bit different, or what people could say an exceptional story, is the fact that it became an interracial custody battle that would follow the my misfortunes or from being from the community at the time of, like I said, the crack era. So that's why I said my story kind of stems from what's been an everyday common thing for certain people, you know what I'm saying, or at one point, at some period, you know, time, it was a crack baby was more common than what somebody would have thought. But in my case, I was the only crack baby that probably made media, I guess.
Right. Okay. So let me, and like you said, let me go back a little bit. I know earlier we had some distortion, so if you guys didn't hear it, I'm going to go back over it. So Baby Byron is a story about Baby Byron. Over two decades ago, Americans knew his taste as pretty much him being premature when he was born, because he was a pretty much, like you said, a crack and heroin baby. He was born in pretty much 1992, so in the 90s, the crack era was ready to go. They was handing out crack, like they was handing out free hot meals at the shelter. It was going down.
Right.
And people were losing a lot of their families behind drugs and cocaine and heroin back in this era. So his mother had to obviously lose custody of him for him to be inside the system. So Baby Byron, tell us a little bit more about that incident. If you remember, tell us a little bit more. Bring us into that day that you were snatched from your mom. How did you feel, and why did they say they snatched you from your mom? What happened that made them say, you know what, we have to save this kid?
Actually, I'm actually happy you asked that specific question, because a lot of people don't ask that. You know, they actually just go off of the presumption that I was taken because I, you know, was had, you know, drugs in my system, which is protocol. But what was protocol right at the time was, you know, to help the mother, right? That was what was protocol. So, and one thing that maybe is not a narrative in the media that I feel I should always correct about my mother, that a lot of people don't know, is that my mother, I'll say from start to my understanding, and also for what people could actually look up themselves, but to my understanding and for what I know to be true to myself, my mother, she experienced a lot, you know. So when she was at that age, you know, and at the time I was born, I'm not knocking what she did, but understanding the circumstances as I got older, you know, it's hard to be so judgmental. You know what I mean? Once you know what the circumstances was and for certain people. But in my mom's case and in my case, I was actually supposed to be placed back with family. I wasn't supposed to be removed. I was not supposed to be stripped or anything of that nature. That only transpired because of my foster family. Before I get ahead of myself, my mother, she was granted custody of me back. She was not immediately stripped or anything of that nature. She was put into a program that was at help of the hospital and all these other things. You know, and the promise to her was, okay, you finish this course, you know, we'll give you, you know, the baby back, you know, because you'll have an apartment, you know, you'll have everything set up and you'll be able to, you know, get your kid back. That was what was promised to my mother, but it was also what was promised to a lot of mothers at the time. But what ends up happening is when the baby is put in the foster care, the foster parent at their leisure can sometimes want to put up a fight to give the child back. So, and what it was is that's what a lot of people don't know is that the portrayal of that my mother kind of abandoned me or whatever is not, was never actually the case. You know, it was just, that's just how media likes to place one bad and one good. And then also in media, and this is not a matter of opinion, this is actually something that if you see the pattern enough, it's, you know, we like to have a white savior. You know what I mean? So in the media, it kind of only amplified that, you know, not saying my foster family were incapable of raising me, but I understand that in situations they would have been. You know what I'm saying? Like, in certain things, you know, you can't raise me, you can't rear me the way you would want to. Yeah, you know, I mean, I know your intentions are good, you know what I mean, but understanding, you know, the world as is not as much as we would like it to be. But they're very good people. They meant well. They didn't mean to make a race thing or about it, neither did my mother. It's just that's what media, you know, kinda did.
Right. Now let's get a little bit deeper as far as what when you're in a household, so you say basically what you're telling everybody is that from birth you had to work a little bit harder. You had to see the world a little different than anybody else that had a regular family and was able just to go home after the hospital and go home with their parents, their biological parents, and be, you know, in a household where everybody, like you said, was blood family. But when you got snatched from your mom and your mom got, you know, your mom was like trying to fight for you to come back, you really didn't know anything really about your birth mom because you were snatched away really fast. So when did you reunite when did you get to reunite with your birth mom as an adult, and how did she feel about what had happened to you your whole life?
I got reintroduced to my mother actually when I was like 9. I got taken away from my mother as a infant, or, you know, newborn, and, you know, fought custody battles up until I was like 5 or 6. But I got my adopted parents, which is not my foster family. My adopted parents are African, you know, actually African, not African American, but actually African. The ones that adopted me officially, they raised me. And my father felt empathetic to what happened to me and felt that I had peace of myself kind of, you know, out of place. So he wanted to extend the branch to reintroduce me to my mother, you know, my biological mother, I mean. So I met my biological mother, when I was relatively still young. But I didn't get to really learn her and know her probably until I was a teenager. Like, you know, for real. I mean, I knew her, you know, I got to, you know, get to know her, but I never got to really get to know her until I was probably a teenager.
Right, definitely. So let me get to this point here. As far as you being, you know, an African American man or a black man, growing up with a Caucasian father, and the big controversy that made in the media, that was a big deal. But do you, as a child, did you realize why they were making it such a big deal, or were you brainwashed to believe that basically everything is going to be okay? You just got to sit in the background. What was told to you when you were a child, why this was happening to you?
You know, honestly, it'd be. I wish I knew. You know, I wish I knew. You know, that's the truth. You know, a lot of people they wish I had an answer to how I felt or how I seen things at the time. But the only thing is that I know to be true about those times is what I grew up doing. I don't know what I mean is, like, I don't know what I could have been observing or what, you know, I just know what the after effect was. You know, and the after effect made me antisocial. The after effect made me insomnia. It gave me a lot of sleep. It gave me a lot of things. I mean, you know, it gave me a lot of character traits that, you know, if it wasn't for whatever traumatics I might have or I did experience or was exposed to, I only remember them in how I grew up, like, otherwise, like, if that makes sense. I don't remember it in the moment. Just like how a lot of
right.
people wouldn't
no.
remember mm-hmm. at that age. Where you wouldn't remember, because a lot of it would be the repressed memories or the memories that kind of faded to the point that it's only left a feeling more than an actual thought. So it's like, you know, it's different. So I feel like in those days, I couldn't tell you because you figure I was born 92 and I had custody battles between going back between my biological mother and my foster parent back to, you know, my grandmother on my mom's side back to, you know, it was a lot of back and forth. So for me to kind of grow, I couldn't even grow accustomed to making a memory for me to understand, like,
now,
you know what I'm saying, if I'm making sense.
Yeah, you're making sense. Now, just to be clear, the back and forth was only because you were African-American child and the courts believed that you should be with an African-American family or a black American family, however you want to name it. But you were being pushed around and moved around because you were satisfied or you were living with two Caucasian couple in a white neighborhood. We don't have to say suburban, but in a white neighborhood, and you were growing up to live with them. And there was such a big problem because the color of your skin that they came and took you from some people. Now, were the people, what I'm asking is, were the people that were Caucasian that took you into their home in the temporary care,
mm-hmm.
were they beating you? Were they trying to kill you? Were they trying to hurt you? What makes the courts that adamant to take you from their home if they were doing everything right other than you being black? What was the other reason? I don't get it.
Well, that's a very good question. You know, that's one thing I never actually got. But what is interesting is that one thing is that it was never actually about racism. It was actually never about race. So why I didn't go to my mom or my foster parents. You know, realistically, it's one thing that didn't make the actual headlines. It was what that both my parent, my actual biological mother and my foster family were both violating the rules, you know what I'm saying, in regards to my custody battle. It wasn't about race, people would like to believe that, but that's kind of how it was able to sell a book or was able to do a lot of other things, you know, to bring attention. But in reality, for example, I was only with my foster family for like a month or two or a few months before the first article was made in 92, like November, December of that year. And the same year and the same month or so, my father died in the same month or two, you know what I'm saying, of that year. The timeline wise, and that's another thing in my mom's defense. My mom didn't even have a good chance to mourn in her custody battling. She didn't really have that window. You know what I'm saying? It was just, hey, I got to fight for my kids back. You know what I'm saying? So it was a different thing. So, but back to the point at hand, my foster family, you know, the judge made gag orders to not, well, you, really, you're not supposed to, when you have a child in foster care, you're not supposed to leave county lines without them knowing, or you're not supposed to leave at all.
Right.
But my foster family would leave cross states with me and be on nationally broadcasted television shows and news articles and, you know, and things of that nature. So that's why I said it, but people would like to chalk it up to racism, but in reality, it was everybody was just violating the laws of what was going on. But it's good. It sounds good if I was to chalk it up to, you know, and I don't want to be a person that spreads false information, even if that's what everybody knows it to be, what it is. It's just, in reality, there was a lot of violations. But everybody did it
right.
As far as, in my opinion, they were doing things to kind of, they meant well, but they just wasn't thinking for real. Like, you know what I mean?
Because
right.
the only way I could say
that is because I got to learn and know these people years down the line. I'm like, you're not even that type of person to try to, you know, exploit me for that, you know what I mean? I learned that over a course of time, you know what I'm saying? So that's why my opinion is a little different when it comes to, because there's no, like, say, for example, one thing a lot of people don't know about the whole Baby Byron case is that nobody actually won. Like, you know what I mean? My foster mother didn't win. My father, the white people didn't win. Neither did my mother win. I didn't go to neither. You know what I'm saying? So
oh, wow.
When you think of, that's one thing that nobody's really taken from that story. So the fight fought for from nine, and it's not a short fight. It was 92 to 96. That's a long time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So,
to be
so
in a custody battle.
And so that whole fight, and at the end of the whole entire, you're telling me that you did not get released to your foster parents or your biological parents?
No. See, why I just thought it would be better just to remove me from the circus.
Wow, that's crazy. And
you
then had to just move in with a whole new couple, and that was the African family that you're talking about in the beginning.
Correct.
Okay, now I get it. So let me ask you this, going forward in your life, you know, being considered and having people in the world know that, you know, you were a crack baby and that, you know, your mom was, you know, pretty much had you and you had drugs in your system, how did that narrative, how did that story stop you in life? Has it ever hunted you down to where people say, I can't hire you for a job, I know your story, or have your story made anything negative come out of anything?
Only when I was young, only when I was a child. I mean, once I hit like, I was a completely new person by 11, 12, meaning like to the world, even to, you know, myself, you know, to the just a lot of people don't. For example, I know people that grew up with me that don't know I'm Baby Vine. Right, they grew up with
okay.
me, and they find out from me doing interviews. They find out from, you know, their mom told them or something. You know, it's because I don't, you know, the only reason why I'm even doing interviews now was really because of my mom. Because after reading all those articles over the years and just seeing things, I'm like, well, she doesn't want to do interviews to correct anything, and people don't, you know, to be frank, they don't even want to care to talk to her about her side. So that's why
right.
I feel like, you know, and I'm a very private person, but about this, I'm doing it because I feel like it's only right for my mom's sake. Because the last thing, if you could Google on her, is not the best thing, and I don't like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
No,
so,
and that's understandable. That's definitely understandable. But now that you tell your story, now let me ask you this. With you telling your story, how does it reflect in your music?
You know, it's funny. I don't actually convey too much of my life into my music, only because some parts of my life is like, for example, if I know there's artists that could rap about, you know, getting shot or whatever, and they could, you know, and it happened to them, and they don't mind talking about it. But, you know, that's something that I don't know if I'd want to relive every song or something. You know, if I have to perform, because a lot of people don't think, if you have to perform these songs everywhere you go, you have to act like you mean what you say. You have to enjoy what you say. But really, I'm just repeating back traumas, you know. So certain things I might not put into lyrics, you know, for the sake of my own sanity. I mean, some things I'll just keep separate. So my life, I don't put as much in my music unless if it's the highlights in my life. I don't put my pains and agonies into that, you know, as much as people would probably like, but I'm not that type of person, so I can't do that. I'm not what's his name? Eminem. I can't. Eminem
right.
is good at that. Like, he could tell.
Eminem
really
is good
definitely
that, good
like,
at that.
You know? Right.
He's definitely good at that. Now you have a song, and we're going to go back and forth, but you have a song that caught my attention, the first song I said I wanted to play, and that's Don't Say No. Tell everybody a little bit about the concept behind that song and the reflection of it, of again your life on that song.
Okay. Yeah, it's funny you said that, because the song Don't Say No, I remember initially it started from me texting a girlfriend at the time, and you know, and she always was referenced, which is probably not just her. People kind of do this all the time where they say, oh, they're like a drug. You know, that's pretty common, you know, sever somebody. You know, they say that
right.
to their significant other, just this, you know, whatever. So I just
right.
felt like, you know, I could play off of that, only because I felt like only could I play off of that. But even like you said, it kind of goes with my story in a sense, because my my whole discography or all the music that I've actually have released, I have drugs in the title. And it's not because it's about selling drugs or anything like that. It's more so the sound is like a drug feel. So thing I kind of correlated to music-wise, it's all about the feeling. But as far as Don't Say No, it's really just a flirtatious take on a drug versus being actually, because I know in music there's a lot of, pill culture, like a lot of, you know what I mean, that type of culture. And me being a part of a kid called God, we're not gospel music. We're far from gospel music, but we don't make music and about, you know, self-indulging and stuff like that. Like, you know, we don't really do that because we don't do that personally. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I Don't Say No. It's more so a romantic twist.
So this is what we're going to do. We're going to listen to this song. But what we're going to do is we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the addiction and how you kick that addiction and what you have to tell people and what you can tell people and acknowledge in the world how to kick an addiction. Because you were born, you know, unfortunately not something that you decided to do. It was put on you because you were born with drugs in your system. When, from day one, you were born high. So you have a lot to tell people and how you can kick an addiction and how it work for you. But don't tell anybody yet. We're going to save it. If you guys want to hear, I want you guys to give us a call right now, 914-205-5462. We got baby Byron. Let's go on the line. We got Don't go nowhere. My boy. Let's go. Here he goes right here. Don't Say No on G-Fast Radio. He's not going nowhere. Don't go nowhere. Let's go.
Don't say no.
Steady on the
Don't say no.
Don't say no.
First you diss me, then you miss me. Wanna kiss me, you misleading. That don't add up, now my math different. You say it all so simply. Wanna
getting all the drugs. Don't say no. Don't say no.
Y'all heard it right there. Heard it right there, right there, right there. It's your boy, baby, Byron. And I'm telling you right now, don't say no. It touched me. It touched me for a reason. Because it's like you're saying no to drugs. So the thing is how is it that you were able to kick such a strong drug, cocaine and heroin, and not actually grow up to be, you know, an addict? And what do you have to? What can you tell people that are crack babies or people who are not, how to, you know, drop something that you didn't even have control of in the first place?
Best thing I can say is, as best I can put it is, whose hands are you in? You know, it depends on whose hands you're in and who God bless you with. You know, whether it's somebody that is only going to make your journey a little bit, you know, harder, but make you strong in the long run, or if it's somebody that's going to nurture you to prevent the long, harsh road. You know, it depends where God, you know, placing that person's life, because I don't think a child could do it on their own. But luckily, I was blessed, you know, with good foster parents that, you know, despite the circumstances, you know, they followed all the things that was needed for a child that was, you know, behind or malnourished or whatever the case was, you know. So like I said, it's at the mercy of God at that point. I don't even want to say at the people, because, you know, I don't want to even give people that much power to do wrong or right. But if anything, I look at it like, when it comes down to it, you know, it's who God bless you with.
Exactly. And I think, too, that your story is touchy because, you know what, you have such a positive attitude, and you didn't give up on life, you didn't give up on yourself, and you didn't give up on a career, your possible career of in music and in life. I feel like sometimes people, they don't get the understanding that when you go through a traumatic situation like how you went through, people give up on life, and they give drugs their attention. And for you to not have done that, and for you to beat all odds, you showing a lot of people that this can be done. Now, as far as, you know, I have to ask you this. As far as the story, losing Isaiah, why in the media or why, you know, in your press release, everything, they always compare the movie Losing Isaiah to your story? What made that happen?
You know, and that's a good question. The reason why they always correlate is because timeline. That's why they always correlate. The timeline for the Baby Byron case is 92 to 96. And Losing Isaiah came out in 95, I believe. And when people see, and that's why I said, you know, the reason why, all right, for example, back to what we were saying in the beginning of our conversation about how it was in the media. The Baby Byron case was on a lot of iconic television programs that was like, you know, Ricky Lake was Ricky Lake. You know what I mean? It was a really iconic nighttime, you know, or daytime, whatever her post was. Then you got Suzanne, you got Montel Williams, you know, you got, you know, CNN coverage, you got Larry King. You know, these are things that, like I said, from 92 to 96, if this is how majority of the world is getting their information, it's only, what, three times in a day, morning news, morning news, lunch news, and evening news, or whatever. Like, so they don't have phones. So when something was a mainstream, you know, thing, it was, you know, it was like across the country, and it was like a real news was very, like, now if somebody dies today or somebody is, you know, famous today, give them 2 months or 2 weeks, they're not as famous or they're not as whatever.
Right.
It's not at the fault of the celebrity. It's at the fault of how quickly we consume information. That's why I said in the beginning, our information is very disposable. So at the time, Losing Isaiah, it mirrored what already was in mainstream America. So when people see
right.
Losing Isaiah, and it's not by and that's not by mistake, because you figure that movie took probably a year to develop, right? It's not saying
right.
that they came up with a script off of my life, but what they did do, they took the momentum off of actual events and, you know, used a combination. Because you figure Losing Isaiah is also Brenda's Got a Baby by Tupac. It's the same story.
Right.
But people don't know, and the people don't, if they don't really look at it like that, but it's the same story. But out of, you know, with all respect, my mom never put me in the trash. And that's no disrespect to the, you know, misfortunate child that happened to. That's a true story. But the
right.
thing is, the media and with Hollywood, they like to combine a lot of things just to say that they could ride the momentum of something. Like, say, last year, or, you know, when they started, well, every time there's a cop killing somebody, there's a movie kind of similar about it or something along the theme about it that year. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, like, for example, the movie, Black and Blue, with Naomi,
I
forget the last name. She's a cop that has a body cam of seeing another cop kill somebody. That's what happens in mainstream kind of news. So it's just it's not about an actual specific situation. It's just, that's just what's happening in the news. So you put it in the film.
In the media.
So that, you
know, exactly.
Yeah. So it's just playing off the time period. So if anything, I would say Losing Isaiah is a time period film of the early 90s crack epidemic with the child care foster. It's a movie on what was happening. You know what I mean? And I just happened to be what helped people go to the theaters because they thought it was about me particularly. So
definitely,
but like I
totally
said, yeah, that's the difference.
Totally agree. Now, as far as how you feel, do you feel like, as far as the racism is concerned, do you feel like there is a division between black and white, and it has been since you were born? Or do you feel like, you know, people are over exaggerating it and we are making it more than what it is?
You know, it's funny, neither. I just honestly think it's just the hearts of men is just like that. You know what I mean? I've experienced it, you've probably experienced it, you know, whether you white, black, there's just these things about indifference comes from, like, that's a personal problem a lot of the times. Because racism, that's like, you know what I mean? I'm not saying I'm incapable of racism, but I don't care to be racist. That's why I don't, you know what I mean? That's
right.
Why I was like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're racist, that means because there's something about you that you know, it's not about the next person for real that bothers you that much, because it just doesn't make
right.
sense, especially if you don't know them. You know what I mean? So that's why I say it's really a lot of different psychological stuff that probably goes into racism, but I don't have a PhD in anything. But if I was just to say, for me to be racist or for me to really see racism, I always see it. But the people that I see usually do racism are people that have position. I don't really, because I've seen white people that weren't racist because, you know, they grew up in the same environment as me. You know, we went to the same middle schools or, you know, whatever. And they didn't have parents. They had moms that dated black dudes, you know what I'm saying? Or white, you know what I mean? Or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So it wasn't like, I didn't grow up, like, seeing harsh racism. The only racism I ever witnessed is somebody that had authority, and they abused it. And that's not just in police. That's in, you know, that's in education. That's in health. You know, whenever I've seen somebody in power, you know, or something that they use, like, that they, you know, they're a necessity of some sort, they abuse it a lot of the times, you know what I mean? So that's why I said racism I've only seen with somebody with the authority. I haven't seen a racist white dude from around the hood I'm from or around the, you know what I mean? I personally haven't, but you know what I'm saying? Like, but
right.
that's just because
Definitely.
Maybe we grew up in the same, maybe because we grew up in arm's length, arm's reach of each other to the point that it's kind of hard. You listen to the music I listen to. You figure, you know, hip-hop is the most consumed music in the world. Not even by me just saying that. Like, it's actually fact. The most, you know, involved music, most sold music, most engaged music around the world, most impersonated music. So when it comes down to somebody, you know, racism is, am I saying it's not a thing? It's definitely a thing. It's an everyday thing. But at the same time, you know, the it's usually the people that are showing you the racism and kind of things like it's at some points it got to make you kind of wonder why is it even like you said in the beginning it's 2020 why is it still a thing now you know what I mean but I can see why it could be a thing you know what I mean for certain people but me being me I don't see it you know what I mean personally
right yeah no, and that's awesome like I love your outlook on life regardless of like I said, what pain you may have been through or what you may have experienced, I think that the outlook that you have is the bigger picture, is the bigger picture. So I respect that about you because you have the bigger picture of everything. You're instead of the glass half empty, you're always on the positive with the glass half full. So I think that you are going somewhere with this. Now, with your music, I listened to it and you sound pretty well. Now, with your music, what kind of audience are you looking to grasp and connect with you when it comes down to your music?
You know, honestly, I only feel if you like my music, then it's meant for you. You know, because that me and not me and who I make music with, and as far as being in a kid called God, me and my homeboy, we make music the only that we actually enjoy. You know what I'm saying? So when you make it for you, it comes to the point that if somebody else likes it, oh, that's great. And if somebody doesn't, it doesn't mean F them. It just means that's fine, too. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So with music, I feel like it's only my way of expressing, you know, my joys with the sounds, you know, and enjoying the engagement. Because with hip-hop and with music in general, it's a engaging kind of thing. You know what I mean? It's like a... Like, say, when I first started doing music, it started in middle school, but I didn't start it doing, like, professionally or nothing like that. But my first engagement with hip-hop was when we was, like, at the – I'm young, so at the time it was Grinding by the Clips. I don't know if you remember that song, but that song,
yeah, uh-huh.
we used to do the drums on the table and rap to them, even if we couldn't rap. So that's why I said, like, the engagement of the music was always something that captured me to it. So if somebody likes my music, then that means there's, you know, I mean, we're connected on a different level then, because, you know, we make music only because we love to do it, you know, and you know, we've been growing fans over the course of time. So there's people that I guess that are like minded, you know what I'm saying? And we just say, hey, they're godlike, you know what I mean? We just say, hey, they're very godlike.
That's what I'm talking about. Now, let me ask you this, the song Dog, tell us, there's a unique spelling. How do you spell that song?
Okay, it's D-A-U-W-G-S. And the reason why it's spelled like that is because for anybody that is unfamiliar with our music as a kid called God, the God is G-A-U-W-D. So it's not G-O-D. So a lot of the times people, when they hear our kid called God, they're going to think it's gospel music or something along those lines. And that's cool. But until they read it, then they're like, oh, that's definitely, maybe it's not. But as far as Dogs go, Dogs title is really just us playing on our name, you know, and how we spell things. But as far as the general concept of the song, you know, when I heard the beat, you know, the producer of his name is Thug Tobin. And he has this sound that's very, like, eerie. Like, he makes these, you know, almost, like, film kind of scory kind of beats sometimes. Some, you know, like on some Quentin Tarantino stuff, you know. He gets real cinematic with it. So with that song, you know, it just felt real, like we could paint a picture. And it's not like we got deep or nothing with the song, but it's just the beat takes you to somewhere imaginatively, you know what I'm saying? So... That's why, you know, Dogs is, you know, it's just a good feeling song, but it's also a compadre song. You know, that's the homie. That's the, you know, whatever.
I hear you got your homie in the back. Your dog in the back. He barking now.
I got two. Yeah, exactly.
Those are your dogs. Well, what we going to do is we're going to play your song, Dogs, and then I got my special co-host. He's coming in, so y'all get ready. We got my boy, hey, Baby Brian. I want you to tell everybody right now, Byron, Tell them your social media. Tell them where they can find the music. And we're going to come back and ask you some more questions. And we're going to talk to the co-host, B-Easy. He's straight from the gar, and he's back like he never left. So we're going to come back and talk with him. But let everybody know right now how to find you.
Yeah, you can reach me out on Instagram at Lord Baby Byron or at Kid God, which is KIDGAUWB, KIDGAUWB, or Lord at Lord Baby Byron on Instagram. You can reach me, but if you're talking about music, you can just look us up and listen to us on YouTube, Spotify, all available streaming platforms under A Kid Called God. You know, spelled the same, GAUWB.
All right, y'all heard him. Make sure y'all go look him up. Go follow him right now. We're going to play the song Dog. We're going to come right back. I got my co-host. We going live. Let's go. It's your girl, G-Step. I got my boy, Baby Fire. Let's go.
That's with it, let's get it. We handle our business. Funerals, weddings, they all get funded. They sign me up with trouble, yeah, I'm always at the something. Yeah, little bitch, I made it. Part two of my 15 minutes. Little bitch, yeah, already famous. Little bitch, and I'm already faded. Get good talk, good morning. Good God, good gracious. Now you really need to face it. Like the words of your bitch before I ate it. You niggas is basic. Like a fiend, I love when the basic. If I spot a op, I do a UV with the Uzi. If I spot your thot, I buy her Louis and not Gucci. I be sipping and spinning and dipping with all of my dogs. I be spinning and splitting and give it to all of my dogs. If I spot a op, I do a UV with the Uzi. Yeah. If I spot your thot, I buy her Louis and not Gucci. I be sipping and spinning and dipping with all of my dogs. I be spinning and splitting and give it to all of my dogs.
I'm in the attic right now, watch the money up low. Hustle ain't right, then the money can't grow. If the bitches are coming, then they getting unclothed. Can't be around if I know you told. Winter real hot, cause the summer real cold. I was just chilling and your bitch just showed. She put it in her lip and she put it in her nose. Said she love me, but I don't really know. Veenin', steaming, Willie, beaming. Got two twins, I spell they name with my semen. Got 10 racks in my savage name, nigga. I'm leaning, I want more money, but I'm.
You already funny, I ain't. That dog, I got my co-host, B-E-G, what's happening?
What that shit do, G-Snaps?
Hey, what's up,
man? We got your boy, Baby Brian. Hey, Baby Byron is on the line. We got our co-host, that's B-E-Z. Man, what do you think about that song, B-E-Z? Dog?
Well, that was cool. That was cool. I like the beat, you know, real mellow. Had me going over here. Had everybody in the house rocking to it.
That's a shot. I appreciate that. That's what I appreciate.
You know, over here on this quarantine shit.
Yeah,
okay.
It's
tough. How have you been in the quarantine?
I mean, well, you know, for me, it really ain't been no quarantine. I've still been going up, you know, fuck Corona.
Oh, here we go.
Ain't that the truth?
Here we go with
that. Ain't that the truth? I just act like I'm quarantining to be politically correct.
Man, for real.
Right. Definitely.
But if you're at my house and you cough, you got to stand outside.
Right.
So Baby Brian, Byron, tell us a little bit more as far as your music is concerned. What motivates you to keep going, and where are you trying to take your music? Where are you trying to be in the next 5 years?
You know, I've been making music professionally, or, you know, I would say professionally, meaning traveling, touring continuously, spending a lot of money. I think once you spend a lot of money, that's when you classify yourself as professional. So I think at this point, from me and Ashe formed a kid called God in 2016, and we first released something in 2017, and we released a project ever since. And then last year we dropped 4 EPs on the same on the same day, which was October, I think, 13th. Yeah.
Oh wow.
So we've always grinded to try to catch up. But you know, it's so funny, when my nephew recently came to me and was like, "Yo, I just realized you got 5 million streams on SoundCloud," and I thought that, and he just thought that that was just a big deal, but not knowing that we have like 50 songs on SoundCloud. You know what I'm saying? And then it's like
right.
A course of 4 or 5 years of music, like, you know what I'm saying, of grinding and grinding. So when you think about it, it's not like we just got 5 million and we got like a song that is primarily everybody's number one song for us. It's just we grinded to the point that, you know, we're still growing, you know, from having label meetings at Warner Brothers to, you know, AWOL. We got a distribution deal with AWOL, and AWOL is one of the, I guess, what, second or third largest music distributors, I believe. So
right.
We've been grinding, but everything is, like I said, is with moderate. But with hip hop, the thing is if it's like people look at it like, if you're not on Billboard, you're not successful. Or if you're not like in the top 10 or 20, they don't know how to measure you as an artist or measure your success. But in reality, a lot of artists like that I know that aren't on Billboard, like say for example E-40, he's never number one, but he still sells millions of records in his region, and he still has a fan base that, you know, he caters to religiously. You know what I mean? So I feel like, you know, our hustle is only as long as we want to actually do it, and wherever our destiny takes us, if it takes us to Billboard, or cool. If it takes us to a couple thousand fans here or a couple million fans here, it's, you know, we're content. You know what I'm saying? We just like to make music. You know what I'm saying? Of course, we'd like to make more money doing it, just like anybody else. But, you know, we do this because we want to. You know what I mean? So as far as my five-year goal, you know what I mean? I can't even tell you. I can't even tell you.
Now, I know it's a lot of haters out here. Now, if somebody, you know, come at you like, "Hey, I don't like your music," how do you handle some shit like that?
I'm like, "Hey, I don't like some of my songs too." I feel you. Now, just hey, say it's a matter of opinion.
You know, niggas be out here hating like it's cool, like niggas is snitching like that shit cool.
Right. That's a lot of things that's different. Like, and another thing about me, you know, I'm a 3-time felon. Now, mind you, it's not like something that I brandish on my shoulder or nothing like that on my sleeve. But the thing is about me, a lot of the times I don't entertain it if I find it to be kind of like, you know, like suckery. So that's how I avoid haters for me. You know what I'm saying? Because if you've been locked up before, you know how to avoid people. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know how to avoid people. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, for real.
Yeah, I know how to avoid. You know I know saying? How to avoid a motherfucker right now.
Like, you own, right? Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So I could do the same, even if I'm famous. You know what I mean? Because, like I said, in the beginning of our conversation, if I was growing up being called a crack baby or whatever, I could be called my music's trash. You know what I'm saying? That's not that bad. You know what I'm saying? That's not that bad. That's not that personal. You know what I'm saying? That's not that personal. So if that's how you feel, that's okay. Yeah, man. I appreciate you taking the time to take.
Hey,
you know what? Tell 4 other people my music's trash too. So it can kind of spread a little bit faster. Because if you notice, let's have an experiment right now. Text 2 people right now in your phone. And you say, "Hey, I got this hot new artist," right? And then text a separate 2 other people, "Yo, this dude's trash," yo, and put LOL emojis. I bet they listen to the dude who's trash before they listen to who you say is horrible. You know
You're
why?
Right.
It's because that's just how we are as people. So if you don't like my shit, please tell 4 other people you don't like my shit. And then tell 5 other people don't like my shit. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't bother me. You know what I mean? For real.
Let me ask you this, Byron. Have you been to the strip club? Because your song, the next song I'm going to play in a minute, is Dancers. Have you been to the strip club in Las Vegas before?
I have not. You know what I mean? It would be legendary if I did, you know, but I have not. I it's on my bucket list.
This song here, we're gonna make it in the strip clubs in Vegas. You better believe this song right here. We're gonna make sure we make it to the strip club.
Hey,
okay?
let's make it happen.
Oh yeah, you keep talking to D-Sam. I can make anything happen for you with a little bit of pressure. Trust me, I got enough talent and a lot of pressure for a lot of these DJs out here. We're definitely making it happen.
Hey,
once the world opens
your new PR.
Up,
Okay,
PR, yeah,
yeah,
for sure. I'm
going to
be new PR for sure. Whatever.
Tell Dom, you know, send that cease and desist letter. Tell Dom, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? You new PR now.
Okay. Let's go. Shout out for real. No, shout out for real. We're going to definitely talk. We can definitely collab because, you know, getting you to Vegas and your music, you sound great. You're out here telling your story, but what we need to do is get you on the stage. We need to get you on the stage, and we need to get you performing, and we need to get the world to see you. So, you know, right now, because we're quarantining, the radio interviews and everything are a good look for you. But once you hit the scene and you go hit the ground running, I think that it's time for you to come to Vegas, and you could definitely be a poster boy for Vegas and show them how to turn up. You know, now, what's a good
That's
time
real.
To you? Because listening to this song, Dancers, I need to know from your mouth, what is a good time for you?
What's a good time for me as far as what? As far as
partying, hanging out, you know, what
man,
do you find is relaxing as a good time?
You know, I don't know. There's no time limit on a good time. You know, I don't know. you know, it's hard to say. If you say the party starts at 12, you know what I mean? And they don't crack till 2. Yeah, they don't pop. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you never know. So it's like, hey, you never know, man. So it's just wherever the night takes us. That's where we leave off at. Hey, wherever the night takes us, this party turn up. You know, we'll just let that. We'll let the night talk to us. You know what I'm saying?
Be easy. I want you to listen to this song right here. Turn it up. Everybody, I want y'all to listen. If y'all want to call in and talk to Baby Byron while he's on the line, give us a call at 914-205-5422.
Yes, sir. Call in. Talk to me. What's
up? Y'all hear him. Y'all better call in and talk to him. 914-205-5462. It's your girl, G-Snaps, and your boy, Be Easy. We in it with your boy, Baby Byron. Let's go. We got Dancers right here by Baby Byron. We're going to come back. And I'm going to get in your business, Baby Byron. We want to know, all the girls want to know where your girl at, man. They hear you, and they hear your music.
Man.
Like, where is he single? Like, we want to know. Don't tell nobody yet. If y'all want to know, you better keep listening. 914-205-5462. Byron, where your boo-boo at? Let's go. It's your girl, Tisha.
With the pen, yeah, I penetrate this bitch. So my water on my wrist, yeah, gotta stay hydrated. Killing bad bitches until it's annihilation on some annihilation. My occupation is the occasion, yeah, I'm always on time when I pull up in the latest. Something they expected, hard for them to reject it, but I keep them all guessing. If I feel the tension, yeah, I pull up and I stretch up with the Smith and Wesson. On the south, I'm a legend. On the east, you know I'm a reverend, cause I give them all blessings. My word is bond, my word is law. Your word is not, your word is flawed. Case closed, you're unsolved. I don't fuck with none of y'all. Yeah, put the pack in and put the pack out. Once I let you back in, can get you back out. It's just me, test the temperature. If I don't like the degrees, body change from the temperature when it deceased. I remember used to sell trees, yeah, with the trees. But because maybe I was just a teen and maybe she was a fiend, they would just get out on me. My life really ain't a sad story, it's a dark comedy. I got power and jealousy. I guess that's just the god of me, ain't no fraud of me. As I sat there, wondered how many stars were beside
on the side.
One time for the ancestors, gotta let it burn. One time for the bastards who died backwards.
The world ain't yours. Only answer. It's all mine.
Yeah.
Blame my cancer. Full rounder. Turn them into dancers.
One time for the bad bitches with credit, yeah. Feel like Magneto pulled her in with my magnetic, yeah. She ate the dick like a hot bag of Cheetos. My white girl getting thick like a Mexi burrito, yeah. They might give you money, that don't make you equal, yeah. Guns kill niggas, but hoes is more lethal, yeah. If you wanna book the God Factor Allens, if you wanna hit the label, then hit and subscribe us. If she's saying she a freak, let me witness her talent. Baby, I'm not trying to victimize you. We just trying to victimize you, to hypnotize you. Real nigga won't criticize you, cause we just handle business.
As I sat there, wondered sat how many stars over
stars on the side.
One time for the ancestors,
one
gotta
time.
Let it burn. One time for the bastards who got it backwards. The world ain't yours, only answer.
It's all mine.
Blame my cancer. Full rounder, turn them into dancers.
Y'all heard him. He said we turned them into dancers. Let's go. Thank you so much for, you know, the opportunity to being able to talk to you and getting the word out. Before we let you go and before we talk a little bit about your social media again, tell people that are listening, when they want to pursue any dream that they have, what would your advice be?
My main advice in saying would be, if you know, if you quit it, it's probably not meant for you. Because anything that keeps you from sleep, you know, or whatever keeps you from building certain friendships, you know, especially if it's something positive for you, I mean, if it's preventing you from doing a lot of things, but it keeps you motivated, keeps you grounded, then it's something that will eventually make sense for you, and it'll, you know, things will eventually work its way for you. But it doesn't mean, you know, wait for chance. And, you know, of course, you got to make yourself available for chance, you know. So I think, if anything, I would just chalk it up to, you know, if you want to get it done, you know, pursue it till it is, you know, for real. You know what I mean? That's the best advice I could give, because the moment you – and then another thing, not involving – if you could do it yourself, you know – Don't be lazy, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't try to get other people to do it, you know what I'm saying? Because then you'll be upset, you'll be kicked. That's probably the main, if there's somebody could take anything from it, is, yeah, if you could do it yourself, just do it. Because if you leave it to somebody else, you'll be mad at you, because you'll be like, damn, I could have just did that. Especially if it was something, you know, that was probably relatively important to what you needed done, you know what I'm saying? Just, you know, so I guess that's basically what it is, you know, no shortcuts. Yeah, I mean, they produce shortcomings. So if anything, just, you know, keep going until you make it, you know, for whatever it is.
Definitely, man. And listen, tell them again your Facebook. How do they reach you on Facebook?
Oh yeah, you can reach me on Facebook at A Kid Called God, GAUWD, and I'll be available on that as well.
Awesome. Tell them your Instagram.
Instagram at Lord Baby Bond and at Kid God. Twitter is at Kid God as well. But we don't really, I ain't even going to send too many people there, because we don't even be on that for real. So, but if, you
right.
know, if we do get back onto that, yeah, keep that in record. Yeah, at Kid God on Twitter as well.
Awesome sauce. Well, I just really want to say, like, we appreciate you coming and spending this amount of time. I know the beginning of the show, it started off a little distorted, and we had to get people back on, but you did a great job today. Your music is awesome. Is there anything
Thank
that you.
You
want to tell? I mean, the world is listening right now. Is there anything that you feel like you didn't get to tell or get to express right now?
Not to sound cliche, you know what I mean, but not to even put it on my music, you know, I noticed on my feed on Twitter, or I'm not on Twitter, on my Instagram, that the Breonna Taylor thing kind of slowed down, so I feel like people need to kind of bring that up a little bit more, and saying, you know, music is one thing, you know, of course I love to talk about my music forever, but then there's things that are, you know, also very more serious, and you know, things that are very more things that need, you know, real action and stuff. You know, music, you can just click on my shit and play it, you know what I'm saying, which is cool. But also, I feel like, you know, we need to keep the family for Breonna Taylor, you know, prayed for, and also, you know what I'm saying, make sure that, you know, there's justice for her. So if that's one thing I could leave on them, yeah, that'd be the note I'd leave it on.
That's what I'm talking about. Justice for Breonna Taylor, justice for George Floyd, man, justice for everybody that had to suffer for no reason whatsoever for minding their business. Justice for Trayvon Martin. I mean, let's just be real. You know,
right.
Like you said, you brought up a great point, an amazing point. We like you said, things happen, and in 2 weeks, people just stop talking about it. It goes over everybody's head, and they're done. But these people,
right,
who they're these family has lost these loved ones, they're still mourning, and they're going to continue to keep mourning, even though we moved on with our lives. So we do have to bring awareness into the world. And like you said, I don't see the world in black and white. I do see the world having justice and understanding for each other. And there's no reason why Breonna Taylor's killer shouldn't be in jail right now.
Yeah, killers, plural, all them niggas, all those motherfuckers,
all
of them, yeah, all of them. So,
and I'm
yeah,
glad you, and
the,
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought
yeah.
that up too. Is now that's what I'm saying. Does it hit home when you see stories and headlines like this that you could have been that guy? You could have been that guy in the white suburban neighborhood one day, and you got hit, you got, you know, attacked by the police, or you got attacked by, you know, somebody that, like they did George Floyd. You know, they went and shot this man down as he was jogging in his own neighborhood, minding his business, but because of the color of his skin, he was targeted.
That's crazy to me. Like for Ahmaud, yeah, that's terrible. Stuff like that. If I can't jog in my own, you know what I mean? Stuff like that, that makes it like, you know what I mean? And people like to segue into being, you know, or what black on black crime and all that, la la la, that we ain't even gonna go into that. But if we're talking about, if you have authority and you gun me down, or if you have a position that you know you're not going to be prosecuted the same to gun me down, it's not a leveled playing field. If my kin or my alike or black person kill me, there's a good chance there's a story behind him killing me. I'm not saying I'm saying there's a difference between what they chalk up to and then what's just killing just for execution purposes. You know what I mean? There's a difference. There's a good chance in the black community, there's a beef that's between them two brothers that couldn't be resolved other than that, between as far as they're concerned. But between an officer I only met for 5 minutes, you know what I'm saying? There's a difference. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
It's not. That's why I said it's a difference that people need to not put those in the same, you know, thing. I mean, no, you know, these brothers in the community, they're not sworn in to protect each other. I mean, it's a difference for them. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I said they, you know, people that got away with what they did, they need to be held accountable. That's all. You know what I mean? I don't know how a lot of people misinterpret that. You know what I mean? It's, you know what I mean? Like, they like to segue it into, yeah, you know I mean, nah, there's nothing more. You know, justice for Breonna, justice for Ahmaud Arbery, you know, George Floyd, et cetera, et cetera. Antoine Rose, et cetera, et cetera. Goes on and on. We could go on for days for all of them, but we shouldn't have to anymore. I guess that's the point.
And you know what, while you're on the line and you're talking about that, the struggle that we have seen in America. Now, there's a big news about how they felt like people were making so much more money with making an extra $600 in unemployment on top of their $200 or $300 that they were getting for unemployment. So people, they made a big deal of people making $800 a week. And I feel like, do you feel like with everything that's going on, like you said, with justice and everything like that, we need justice for America? Because obviously,
right,
everything that they do, if they're doing it for themselves, because they're only protecting themselves. Because if we're not making $800 a week, that means that we're doing bad.
Right.
That means that they're saying that we can't live if we're not making at least $800 a week, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's pretty much what they're talking up to.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying, is that it's not even the black and white thing at this point. It's America itself. We have to do better
right.
as Americans, period. And we have to pick out a better leader. matter. I'm sorry. I'm going to just say my opinion. But if we have to have somebody that is going to lead our country, we need somebody that is going to lead the country. Look at Canada. Canada has people getting $2,000 every month for the rest of the year. They have made it up. They said we're going to do that, and that's it. That's all. Everybody is getting paid to sit in the house.
Canada has free health care for their whole country.
Exactly.
Right. But it's different. It's definitely different. Right. The air probably tastes different, too.
Right. Exactly. Their jobs, everything, their costing is totally different. And that's sad. That's all I'm saying is that is sad. And, you know, we have to do better as Americans. But I definitely agree with you. Shout out to, you know, Breonna Taylor and her family. And like you said, we need justice for everybody.
That's real. Exactly.
That's real. I appreciate you. I really do. If you have, again, tell everybody where they can find your music. Tell everybody everything that you want to hear before you leave the interview today.
Man. You can reach me once again on all social media platforms at A Kid Called God. I promise you can type in it like GAUWD. I should be one of the first results, if not second result. But the first result will probably ultimately still be me as well. So if anything, if you want to reach me as far as personally, I would say at Lord Baby Byron on Instagram. I'm available probably throughout all the platforms. If you're talking about directly and probably more of an immediate response here, probably at Lord Baby Bond on social media, which is Instagram.
Instagram, okay. And that's it. Say that again. What is it?
At Lord Baby Byron at Instagram. And as far as music, once again, it's available on all platforms, Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music, et cetera, et cetera. And I have a new release coming out August 19th for this month called Drugs Before the Flight 2, being one half of A Kid Called God. That's what it's built under. So people can also check that out or expect that at the end of this month or approaching the end of this month.
Awesome. And what's the name of the album again?
Drugs Before the Flight 2. It's the second part to what we released in April of this year.
Awesome. And is there anybody you want to shout out? Anybody you want to give thanks to?
Yeah. I would like to give a shout out to the team over at God Code, which is my label. Nav King, Sorted O Yahweh, Cookie Bariana, one half of A Kid Called God, Ashe Snefru, Louie, Southside 23, et cetera, et cetera, Hades Baby. You know, et cetera, et cetera. I don't want to take, because, you know, we like Wu-Tang over there. I can go on for days. So,
right.
Yeah, so just shout out everybody. You know, shout out everybody. Peace to the gods and earth. You know, and everybody, you know, enjoy the rest of y'all evening. You know, everybody enjoy that Vegas weather. And, you know, like I said, you know, we're going to have to schedule an in-studio session, you know, in the future. You know, hopefully at the end of this year, you let me know. You can let Dom know. I would like to, you know, do things in person as well. You know, that's the second course of the campaign.
That's what I'm talking about. We definitely got to make sure that we have you front and center in the studio, because that's the, you know, the big picture of it all is we want to get everybody in the same room with coronavirus going on. I know it's hard right now. We got to do everything virtual, but we are definitely going to get you down to Vegas. We're going to talk to Dom. Like I say, shout out to Dominic, man. Dominic is he got exclusive interviews with all the, I'm talking about all the artists that you can name. I say shout out to him, man. We got callers.
Yeah, Dominic Natty.
Calls is called in and hanging up. You guys don't hang up. 914-202, Baby Byron. You can stick on the phone if you want to, Baby Byron. Don't go nowhere. We're going to talk a little bit, being the co-host. I'm going to play a couple of songs here, and we're going to come right back. Man, shout out to everybody that's listening. I do appreciate everybody who listened to the show. If you need to go back, www.blogtalkradio.com/GSASradio. You can go back and listen to this interview. It's exclusive on my page. It'll be on all major platforms. So you can definitely listen. I'm going to pay some bills. I'm going to come right back. Baby Byron, you're more than welcome to stay on the phone for any callers that call in that have any questions. If not, we really love you and we appreciate you. We're going to go play this song and come right back, and we're going to have a great time. Let's go. It's your girl, Mile High Family. I'm going to shout you out again. Let's go. It's your girl,
I'm living no regrets. Yeah, I'm living no regrets. Yeah, I'm living no regrets. Yeah, I've been living life like I know it great. Under the rug, you'll get swept. You got a debt, you better pay quick like the IRS. I come collect, chopper hit your neck, then fly through your chest. You best get low, cause we on what's next. Bitch, I'm up next. My car calls a 10, and that's why you upset. Don't get upset. Yes, yes, yes. Diamonds on me, they fish wet. And I flex hard, I bench press. Got hundreds in the duffel, I blow that, you know that.
Strip clubs is closed down.
Oh yeah, all the strip clubs are definitely closed down. That they definitely they ain't opening that up until phase 10, okay? No, it's too much sweat going on and touching and going on in there. Hey, go ahead.
Hey, but they tune that thing till 6 in the morning in my house.
That's what I'm saying. Hey, Baby Byron has a song, Dancer, and I'm telling you, you guys need to go listen to it. You guys heard his interview. If you didn't hear the whole thing, you can always go back. I'm telling you right now, what did you think about Baby Byron's story?
I mean, you know, that man struggled. He went through a whole lot. You know what I'm saying? He went through a whole lot of shit. And to see where he at now, you know what I'm saying, on a good path, trying to take care of his shit, stay out the way, you know, he blessed.
Definitely. I definitely just want to say, you know, again, Baby Byron, you guys call in. He's still on the line, so you guys might get a chance to talk to him. But give him a call at 914-205-5462. Give us a call right now. Baby Byron, I forgot to ask you. Let me see if he's still alive. They keep chatting me about this. Baby Byron, are you still there?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Hey.
Hey. All the girls keep chatting me. Do you? I never answered that question for them. Do you have a girlfriend? They want to know.
Yes, I do. I do. Honestly, I do. Yes, I do. Actually, I'm with my son's mother. I have two sons. My youngest son is he's like almost a year. It'll be a year in October. So yeah, I have a queen. I have a queen to the kingdom, but it's really a queendom. I'm more so a part of her thing. If that makes sense.
Right, right,
right. Yeah, I follow. If that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. Hey, y'all
I appreciate
right there.
All them. I appreciate it though. I appreciate all that though. You know, just but she will hurt y'all. I just want y'all to know that. On the low, she will hurt y'all. But you know, she means well. But after she hurts you,
and y'all hurt
you know, I mean, she'll try to help you. She'll try to help you at the same time. She's one of them. She's a beautiful person.
He said his woman will snatch y'all, so just watch out. Don't mess with him. Don't just snatch y'all. We'll
talk. We'll talk. Ask about it. I'm always, my girl don't play.
Yeah. I definitely want to shout out all my people that's listening to me right now. My next door neighbor, Emily, man, and Adam and Jordan, I love them, man. Shout out to them. My front yard looks amazing right now. Shout out to Leroy, my stepdaddy. That's my guy. Shout out to my mom.
Shout out Leroy.
To everybody. Yeah. Shout out everybody that's listening, man. Shout out to everybody that continues to follow GSTATS Radio. I definitely want to play a song from a YouTuber that I love the most. And we're going to come back. Let's hopefully we got some calls by then and put some calls in. 914-205-5462. Again, that's 914-205-5462. Give us a call. I'm going to play it right here. Queen Naja, you heard it first. GSTATS Radio. Let's go.
Yeah, I want to know where he's coming from.
Well, he's actually coming from you know, being a crack baby to being put in foster homes after foster homes after foster homes. And he went with a white family, and the system said that he shouldn't be with white family. He should be with a black family. He feels like black people should go with black
family. I heard
the
story. I was just understanding where he was rapping.
He's actually from Pittsburgh, you know.
Pittsburgh. I've been to Pittsburgh. It's a good town, you know. Kind of old looking.
Yeah, so he's a Pittsburgh guy. He's a Steeler guy, man.
Okay, Pittsburgh Steeler.
That's right. We're doing this all day, every day, GSAS Radio. Man, you guys heard it first, man. This show has been a success. I want to say thank you to everybody else. Be easy. Let them know, you know, exactly what people need to do to listen to GSAS Radio. Tell them. Just tell them they need to go to Blog Talk Radio and let them know they need to listen to us. We got a show tomorrow. Be easy. Let it be on there. I need y'all to just listen to it on a daily.
We got a back to back around this bitch.
We got a back to back. We're coming with banger after banger after banger. You guys hear me?
We
got a guy.
What?
Yeah, you can definitely request music.
Hey, so check this out. Y'all can get at us online, blogtalkradio.com/gsnapsradio, or y'all could just call in and holler at us personally, 914-205-5462. Or if you're in the neighborhood, come stop by the studio.
You heard me. You heard it, man. You heard him. He's not playing. We out here making real big moves. Tomorrow, we have a special guest. That's Papa Joe. Papa Joe has not only has he been a DJ, and he had a top song that hit the Billboard charts at number 6 called Last Night from DJ Papa Joe, but he also is known for losing over 250 pounds by walking, guys. He lost over 250 pounds. He did not have any surgery. He has been live and has been shown on so many different radio and TV shows due to his weight loss, due to his music, and now he's going to be live on GSAS Radio. We also have an awesome, talented young man that is going to come on, and you guys got to look at Bigger State. Bigger State is when I say he is out here representing for the people. He came from being a homeless teen to a phenomenal rapper, you know, and now he has people that support him like Fortnite, T.I.A.K.O. Clothing. He has performed with DaBaby at the SXSW. So this boy is going to be on the show tomorrow. Bigger State, I mean, he is crazy. He shared the same stage with DaBaby and so many more other artists. So do not miss the show tomorrow. He's been on CNN. He's been on Fox News. He's been on BET. He's played on Bravo, on World Star Hip Hop. We can keep going on and on and on. He's a 2-time Grammy producer. So you guys, he did songs with Kevin Gates. The guy is crazy. He basically formed a membership with Wu-Tang Clan. It's crazy. It goes on and on. We're going to hear about his story tomorrow, man. But we have some great people on. I want to shout out to everybody that's listening. Be easy. Take them out. Let them know we out here. Maybe, Ben, I appreciate you listening, man.
Hey, we need everybody to tune in tomorrow, man. Y'all check us out because we, like I said, we on a back to back with this shit. You know what I'm saying? We giving you a
banger.
Double dose of it.
Banger after banger. It's your girl G-Staff, your boy Be Easy, Matey Ben. I appreciate y'all. Shout out to everybody across the world and around the nation. I even see y'all logged in Africa, man. Shout out to y'all in Africa. I got 4% listeners in Africa right now. Let's go. Let's start somewhere, baby. It's your girl G-Staff, my boy Be Easy. I want to say, y'all, we had an awesome show. We going to lead it off like this. Be Easy.
Hey, yo, G-Snap, gonna give a nigga the word. I hear you on the radio, gonna let it be heard. The one that got it jumping when I'm running through the town. Got my 18 stumping, even bumping underground. I don't even need a CD. Baby, you such a sweetie, but for show, roasted co-host. Young Be Easy on the West Coast, we brag boasts and post-game. G-Snaps put you right on the map if you want fame. It's hard to be an artist in a city of sin, but you can catch a local song every time you roll in. Some people pay just for some play, but there ain't no way to win. It's only G-Snaps Radio, so better tune in. We want G-Snaps, G-Snaps. We on G-Snaps, G-Snaps. We want G-Snaps, G-Snaps. We on G-Snaps, G-Snaps. We want G-Snaps, G-Snaps. We on G-Snaps, G-Snaps. We want G-Snaps, G-Snaps. We on G-Snaps, G-Snaps.